Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Help and Hope. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm joined by
Mike Emlett
and Tim Lane.
Thanks for coming in. How would you guys respond to some critiques of biblical counseling that include the opinion that biblical counselors can approach complex problems in a simplistic manner?
Well, I would say if the shoe fits, we need to wear it, because I think it is certainly possible that that people use the Bible in a simplistic way, when in fact a starting point needs to be to really get to know the person in front of you, understanding the full orbed experience that they bring to the table. So it's not just about addressing issues of sin. It's not just about addressing issues of suffering. It's also about encouraging them in who they are in Christ, their identity in Christ. It's understanding the situational factors that impinge upon them, which might include bodily factors as well. Mm-hmm. So I think our starting point is, this is probably far more complex than I may see on the surface. And so I think the critique is valid, and we need to take that seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that we see in the broader culture with really complex problems is our society tends to medicalize them. And a tendency may be in the church, when we see really complex problems, we might demonize them. We may say there's a devil that needs to be cast out here, a demon that needs to be cast out. You could spiritualize it and just say it's purely a heart issue, and if they just believe Jesus more.
You don't have enough trust, faith.
And so we tend to come to the table sometimes, if we're not careful, with a very simplistic understanding of our doctrine of progressive sanctification. But if you read the Bible, the doctrine of progressive sanctification is a very complex kind of process, mm-hmm. And it takes into consideration all of the mitigating factors that someone is facing. You look at all of the narratives in Scripture, and you're seeing the situational factors, and they're being talked about, and they're being expressed, deeply to God in prayer. You see it in the Psalms. You see it in the Apostle Paul's ministry, other biblical characters. So that would be something that we would want to definitely guard against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we rightly as biblical counselors believe the Scriptures are sufficient for the most difficult and thorny problems of humanity. If the redemption, and I'm thinking full orbed redemption that Jesus brings for sin, suffering, brokenness. If that's not sufficient, then what else is? Mm-hmm. The question is, how do we live out that sufficiency, and what does that look like in ministry to other people? So, one verse that comes to mind, 2 Peter 1, verse 3, His divine power has given everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. That talks about the comprehensiveness and the sufficiency of Scripture. But the challenge is, well, what does that look like in practice? That in no way means that, it's very simple in terms of how we grow in our lives and in our godliness, how the knowledge of God really transforms us, gives us perspective in the midst of our suffering, helps us overcome sin. That's a very challenging thing.
Right. Yeah, and on its face, if you read that verse inappropriately, you would tend to think, if you just kind of tap into that power that's in you by the Spirit, that you will automatically move up to a new level of victory. And I look at another section of Scripture, Romans 5-8, and those four chapters, and a lot of people tend to segment them and see them in a logical order. Romans 5 is focusing on justification, Romans 6, the mortification of sin, chapter 7, the struggle with sin, chapter 8, this new victory. If you tend to look at them in a logical order, and I would say no, I think it's probably the case that all of those chapters are simultaneously true of the believer.
Mm-hmm.
So while there's hope in Romans 5 and 6, and 8, there's that struggle that's talked about actually in both chapters 6 and 7. And so that gives us, I think, a rich Christian psychology, if you will, to understand mm-hmm. what real growth and grace looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, you alluded to this earlier, Tim. I think there are lots of different ways that we can be simplistic, and not just us, but the psychologies,
right.
other Christian approaches. There are ways in which whatever you highlight, perhaps as mm-hmm. central, if that's the saying, if you're a hammer, everything's a nail. That can be true across the board. So if we focus on sin, our approach to people is going to be stunted. If we focus just on suffering, mm-hmm. our approach to people will be stunted. If we focus on bodily issues, physical issues that they're wrestling with, our approach will be short-sighted. If we focus on the circumstances of their lives and the situations of their lives and just that, our approach will be simplistic. So there are a lot of ways to be
right.
simplistic with people. Yeah. And I think Scripture takes all of those things.
Right.
A biblical approach to people takes all of those things into consideration. And so a ministry approach must as well.
Yeah. And I would say, just addressing CCF in particular, We emphasize greatly, because it has been underemphasized, we emphasize the centrality of the heart, mm-hmm. motivational issues. That has been a theme that has at least been signaled loud and clear by us. And if we're not careful, and other people might misinterpret us, because we're emphasizing that so much, that we can tend to just spiritualize people's problems.
Mm-hmm.
And all we're saying is, no, fundamentally, that's at the core of what needs to change, mm. but you're factoring everything else. And I would say that's actually more hopeful, because the gospel does come to address our deepest problems, which are
right.
worship, heart issues,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't do it in a simplistic way.
Yeah.
There's just one other passage that comes to mind, and that I think is helpful to keep in mind because it's often misread. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it talks about there's no temptation that's overtaken you that's not common to man. And it tends to kind of, make everything seem normal. And at some level, that's fundamentally true. And then Paul goes on to say, but with every temptation, there is this way of escape. And I used to read that passage and thought it meant that, Jesus was the way of escape. And if I just latched onto him better, that I wouldn't have to struggle with this issue anymore. And actually, the metaphor, the analogy that Paul is using, that way of escape, he's talking about walking a narrow ravine through a treacherous mountainous range.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that view of sanctification is one that's along obedience in the same direction, and it's never viewed as something that's easy. And so this life of faith factors in mm-hmm. struggle, the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I love J.C. Ryle. He says there are two evidences that you're a Christian. The first one is that there's this new peace, and the second evidence is that there's this new fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. And I think maybe another danger that we can fall into as counselors is because our range of experience isn't as wide and broad as all of humanity, that we can tend to just work out of our experience
mm-hmm.
and fail to really get to know and understand the deep struggle that someone is experiencing, because potentially, and this is going to be always the case, that hasn't been our struggle. I think about someone who is just deeply driven by fear and anxiety. I get that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if I work off of my experience, I'm gonna tend to downplay and minimize mm-hmm. how deeply this person struggles. But if I start to get to another story and figure out, oh, okay, this is what's happened to you, this is what was done to you, I think I might be able to get on board with why you're driven by your fear and anxiety as much as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always having to, you know, go cross-cultural, if you will, with people and never just kind of assume that that they are the same as we are.
It's a humble approach.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're highlighting the need to truly know the person in front of you, because if you don't, your approach will be short-sighted. It'll be simplistic.
Yeah. And I look back in pastoral ministry, and I think all of us can look back when we were much younger than we are now, and we could see where those were the mistakes that we tended to make. And the more you live with people, the more you get to know your own heart, the longer you live, the more complex you're able to understand life and people are.
Mm-hmm.
And that factors in, I think, in terms of wise counseling. You know, one of the things that I think makes this conversation important is our conference that's coming up in October in Louisville, Kentucky. We're addressing psychiatric disorders, and the tagline is a compassionate look at complex issues or problems. And it's one of the things that we're striving to do, and that is to not be simplistic,
right,
to take all of the various factors in mind as we're thinking about counseling people who oftentimes, when they have a label like this, it's simply saying they're really suffering.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real struggle going on here.
Right.
And we want to take that seriously.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.